Well, good morning. Welcome to those who are joining us online as well this morning. Today we are launching into the series that Pastor Darren set the stage for us last week as we explore in greater detail how to grow in being and making disciples of Jesus by the Spirit. So first I have a question for you. How many of you have ever played the game Jenga? Like this. Yes, lots of you. So the game, the object of the game is to make the tower as high as you possibly can, but the potential of the game really is all about the stability of the base, right? Because as you build that tower, you can make all kinds of risks farther up if your base is solid. The further you get from the base, you can actually sway quite a bit from one side to the other, and it's going to hold steady if you have a steady base. But if your base is not solid, if things get even a little bit wobbly, even a few levels up, it's all going to come crashing down. And the same is true with our lives of discipleship. It's important that we tend to the base. In our discipleship, our base is that we know Jesus. Because when we know him, when we know what he actually says and does, when we know his heart, his character, it leads us to trust Jesus, to be the Savior that he is for us and for the world. And when we put our trust in him, when we trust him with our lives, that's when we begin to imitate Jesus in how we live and what we do and say and what we want to become. And when our lives start to demonstrate the character of Jesus in our words and our actions, that's when we speak Jesus. We invite others to take their first and next steps with Jesus too, because that's when our words actually mean something. Because other people can see how knowing Jesus has shaped us. We need that solid base for us to live our mission well, because before we can see, love, serve, and teach people the way that Jesus does, first we have to know how Jesus sees, loves, serves, and teaches people, right? It takes us knowing Jesus to live our mission to help other people know Jesus as well. But you're not going to speak up and invite someone to follow somebody that you're not imitating yourself. And you're not going to imitate somebody that you don't trust. And you're not going to trust somebody that you don't know. So this whole journey of discipleship can only start with knowing Jesus. You need to know who he is for you. You need to know why who he is matters for your life, your future, your peace, your joy, so you can know that he's worth entrusting your life to, that his way is worth living into, and that a relationship with him is something worth inviting someone else to know as well. So sometimes you just need to go back to the basics, to start from the beginning and build from there, and that's what this sermon series is all about. We're starting from the beginning, and it all starts with us knowing Jesus. But before we can even start there, we have to back up one step further and ask the question, why should we care about knowing Jesus at all? Why does it matter? Well, if you're asking the questions, is there more to life than this? Is there life after death? Does my life matter in any kind of significant way? Does God exist? Who is God? What's he about? Does he even care about me? If you're asking any of those questions, Jesus is the way that God has given to us to be able to know those answers. If you want to know what the invisible, immortal, all-powerful God is like in heart, in mind, in character, how he feels about you, what you mean to him, when you look to Jesus, you'll find out. Jesus is how God shows the world who he is. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And Colossians 1 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And Jesus himself said in John 14, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We have a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when by the power of the Holy Spirit, we come to know Jesus, who through his humanity showed us who God is in ways we can understand, we will know God the Father. And when we see and rejoice in who he is, we're invited to trust Jesus to reconnect us back into relationship with God through his intervening work for us so we can share in God's life now and forever. So if you want to know who God is and his heart for you, look to Jesus and you'll know. So, assuming that you do want to know who God is and that you're interested in his offer to share his eternal life with you, both now and after death, let's talk about knowing Jesus. Well, the first hurdle that people often face is the question, is this even possible? Can we really know Jesus? I realize the first disciples knew him, but I can't travel back in time. Well, to that point, there are two different ways that people talk about Jesus, the historical Jesus, what we can know about Jesus' life lived with his feet in the dust here among us, and the resurrected Savior, Lord Jesus, Jesus who is with us today, present in our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. When people ask, how can we know Jesus when it's been 2,000 years since he walked the earth, the answer is the historical Jesus and the resurrected Lord Jesus are the same Jesus. You can get to know who he is now by learning who he was then. And it's actually pretty similar to getting to know anyone, really. How do you get to know a person? I can think of four ways. You get to know someone by what they say, by what they do, by hearing stories told by people who know them, and by your own experiences with them. So if you were to ask, how can I know how Jesus would react to me? For example, if you're asking, how can I know, how can I trust that if I turn to him that he'll forgive me for all the mistakes I've made and how I've acted toward him in the past? And then I'd ask you, well, how did Jesus react to people historically? I might refer you to Luke 23. Did you know that historically, Jesus prayed for the men who were crucifying him while they were crucifying him? Jesus said in Luke 23, 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Now, what can you know about Jesus through what he says? What's a person like who would pray that? If Jesus would pray for God to forgive people who weren't even asking to be forgiven, people who were actively hurting him, if Jesus would intervene in prayer for their sake at the moment of his worst suffering, do you think that Jesus would refuse to forgive you when you're actively asking for forgiveness from him? Or is this Jesus someone you might be able to trust will hear you, forgive you, and still see the best of what you could be despite what you've done? Does a man who would pray that prayer, a Savior who'd pray for his torturers while laying down his life to intervene for them, does that Jesus have enough grace for you? Well, I can tell you what I think, but you don't need my words. You have his. So what can you know about Jesus from what he says? Jesus' words, his teaching, his preaching, his encouragement, his rebuke, all of them tell you about his heart, his character, and Jesus' heart shows us the heart of God. So do you know Jesus by what he says? If you don't, because you don't know what he said, that's a pretty easy thing to fix, right? If you don't have a Bible, take one home with you today. And we also have a daily Bible reading guide at the front desk for this series. You can take that with you to get you started. And with Bible apps today, it's actually pretty easy to read a whole bunch of different translations of what Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and compare them. To engage with Jesus' words, wrestle with them. Come to know who Jesus is by what he says, not things other people tweet about what they think he said. Let Jesus speak for himself. As Nikki Gumbel from Alpha says, if you look all over the world, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who doesn't admire Jesus' teaching. He answered questions with incredible wisdom. He avoided traps. He used parables of daily life to make complex theological things simple and applicable to people. He knew the law of God backwards and forwards, and he challenged people to see God's love in the law. In the Sermon on the Mount, he turned assumptions upside down, revealing the compassionate heart of God, teaching us to love God and love people. But of all the amazing things Jesus said, among all the things he taught for us to apply, the most amazing are found in the bulk of his teaching, which is not actually about us at all, but about himself and what he came to do and be for us. So what did Jesus say about himself? He said, "I am the bread of life," John 6. "I am the light of the world," John 8. "I am the resurrection and the life," John 11. "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me," John 14. "If you receive me, you receive God," Matthew 10. "If you welcome me, you welcome God," Mark 9. "To have seen me is to have seen God," John 14. "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away," Matthew 24. "Come to me," Matthew 11. "Follow me," Mark 1. With his words, Jesus forgave sins, something only God could do, in Mark 2. And he spoke of himself as God's son in John 8. "Before Abraham was born, I am." And he spoke what God had sent him to accomplish in John 3. "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." If you come to know Jesus by his words, you know Jesus didn't just come to teach us a way to live. He came to be the way to the Father. You can't separate Jesus' teaching from the person of Jesus, because what he's teaching is that he is the way. He came to be the way to connect us to God. And when people really hear what Jesus is saying about who he is and what he came to be, either they're offended because they think he's lying, they believe he's speaking the truth, or they don't know what to think. But what they don't say is, "What great teaching!" Because to claim to be the Son of God, if you aren't, is the greatest of all sins. It's called blasphemy. And it was the charge that led to Jesus' death. If Jesus didn't claim this, or no one thought he was claiming it, they would not have crucified him. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, in his response to people who called Jesus just a great human moral teacher, Lewis writes, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. Either Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he was insane or evil. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us." He did not intend to. Jesus came to be the way for us to know God and to be brought into his life. And his words and his teaching make that clear. We get to know someone by what they say. But we all know that words don't mean anything unless they're backed up by action, right? And ultimately, in Jesus' case, the action that proved his words was the resurrection. But before we get to that, we all know that people can say anything about themselves, but they show us what's true about themselves by what they do. And nobody knew that better than Jesus. That's why he didn't go around just telling people he'd never met that he was the Messiah. He showed it in his actions. When John the Baptist sent people to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Don't believe me because of what I say or what other people say. Believe me because of what I do. Jesus actually says that in John 10. He says, "Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Even if you're not ready to believe that he's the Messiah, believe that what he's doing reveals the heart of God for people. That's what Jesus is saying. This is the heart of God. Don't miss it. Because when you hear what he says and you see what he does, you'll know who he is. That's how Jesus prefers to build faith in us. But do you know Jesus by his actions? When I was in Italy in 2016, I saw a lot of very beautiful cathedrals. I saw beautiful mosaics and carvings and frescoes, artwork that was breathtaking and centuries old. But after seeing just like two or three of them, I started getting disturbed at this pattern that I saw. Because in almost all of them, the only depictions I ever saw of Jesus were Jesus as an infant, Jesus dead or dying on a cross, and Jesus ascended, resurrected in the clouds. And what's disturbed me about this was that I know historically that most Christians did not have access to the scriptures to be able to know what Jesus said and what Jesus did. They relied on those images to help them know the story. But if all you ever knew of Jesus was Jesus the baby, Jesus the dead, and Jesus ascended to heaven, even though those parts of the story are really important, they're not the parts that show you his heart, his character, his compassion. They don't help you know him or why he'd even want to save you. In short, it's kind of hard to relate to a baby or someone who's dead or ascended to heaven. And it upset me to think of generations of Christians not knowing Jesus who turned water into wine to spare a young couple from humiliation at their wedding. Jesus, who in compassion fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish because they were hungry. Jesus, who healed men, women, children, servants from crippling conditions of mind, body, spirit, and praised the faith of those his own people considered enemies. Jesus, who ate with tax collectors and sinners, himself without sin, but obviously projecting love like no one else, since being around him never seemed to trap them in shame. But instead, his very presence seemed to draw them into a new kind of life, one with him. And when self-righteous people were around Jesus, they experienced a humbling so they could start to let go of that impossible standard they were killing themselves and others to try to achieve, to instead walk humbly with him through his grace, which only he makes possible. And that same invitation he gave to all. John 3:16, that famous verse that I gave earlier, was spoken to a Pharisee named Nicodemus who had come humbly seeking Jesus. Jesus' teaching and actions show the heart of a God who longs to forgive and restore and lift up the humble heart no matter where he finds it, because those are the kind of hearts he can work with. Jesus didn't act like a man trying to gain anything for himself. At any chance of earthly power, he turned away. What Jesus did between being a baby and dying on the cross and resurrecting and ascending to heaven, those are the things that help us know his heart. Do you know Jesus by what he did? If I were to ask you, what is your favorite story of something Jesus did? And what do you know about Jesus because of that story? Does one come to mind? How can you know him more? We get to know someone by what they say and they do, but many times we learn about what they say and do from the stories that their friends tell about them, right? Whenever I plan a funeral, I gather all the people who knew and loved that person, and I hear their stories. And the more stories I hear, the more I feel I know about them, from hearing what they said and they did, but also from the impact I can see their life had on the person who's telling me the story. And I often end up wishing that people would have their funeral before they die, because almost always, after hearing those stories, I wish I could talk to them about it. Some things you can only know about a person through the story of someone that they've impacted. And that's the great thing about knowing Jesus. We have the stories of his impact on people's lives in the Gospels, but we also have the stories of how he was at work in people's lives after the resurrection, through the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, all through Revelation, that help teach us how to see where Jesus is at work in our lives today, too. We know a lot about Jesus because the people who experienced him wrote down and shared their stories. But we have those stories not only in Scripture. One of the greatest things about the church is when we gather together in our mutual love of Jesus, we share our own stories with each other of what he's done in our lives. The churchy word for that is testimony. When people share their own stories of the impact that Jesus has had on them, it creates that same impulse. Now we want to talk to Jesus too. We want to know him more. We want to look for where he's at work in our lives too. And we can. Which leads to the last point. The last and best way you can get to know someone is through your own experience with them. Because we can know a lot about Jesus from reading and hearing what he says, his teaching, his words, from learning what he's done. And we can learn even more from people who have experienced what knowing Jesus has meant in their own lives. But all that is knowing about Jesus. At some point, you have to make the move from knowing about Jesus to knowing him yourself. You can only really get to know someone by spending time with them yourself. You're not really going to know Jesus until you talk to him, until you ask him to apply his promises to you. And Jesus points this out to the Pharisees in John 5. He says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." You can do a whole Bible study on Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest." But you won't actually have that rest until you bring your burdens to Jesus, right? You won't have a relationship unless you are in it. Do you want to know Jesus? Start by talking to him. Pray. Meditate on his words, sing, ask for his forgiveness, his grace, talk to him, and be prepared to listen for his answers. And of course, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. When Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age," how does that happen? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us in John 14, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Jesus has said and done, but it's hard to be reminded of something that we haven't learned, right? So the first job of a disciple is to do what we can to know Jesus in his word, in worship, with others, in prayer, and invite the Holy Spirit to use those tools to help us truly experience Jesus ourselves too. And it really does start with knowing about him, because the more you know about him, the more you're going to want to know him yourself, because he's amazing. He is the heart of God for you. His power is the power of God to make you new, and that's what he wants for you. So where are you in this process? Do you want to grow more in knowing Jesus through what he says and does? Then take the time to read the Gospels and really think about what Jesus' words and actions tell you about what matters to him, about who he is. Because WWJD, what would Jesus do? That only helps you if you know what Jesus did and why. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you apply his same heart to that situation. Do you feel like you need to grow in knowing Jesus through the stories of those who are experiencing him and trying to follow him here and today? If that's a way that you'd like to grow in knowing Jesus, this is a great time to join a growth group or a connection group or a Bible study, because we learn and we grow not only in hearing each other's stories, but also we grow in sharing our own. We learn from sharing our failures as well as our successes, because we know that our Lord does amazing things through the humble in heart. And finally, do you want to grow in knowing and experiencing Jesus yourself? Remember, relationships take time and intentionality. Nobody can have a relationship for you. It's all about the position of your heart. And Jesus invites us to come to him and humbly receive the gifts he gives us. So talk to him. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you hear and see his answers and see how he responds. Today at the end of our services, if you would like one of the prayer ministers to come and pray with you, you can just stay seated in your seat and someone will come and find you and ask how they can lift you up in prayer. It can be anything that you're struggling with because they want to help you experience the truth that Jesus cares for you right where you are today. We don't just want to know about Jesus. We want to know him ourselves so that, as we will learn next week, we can trust him for what he'll do next. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the beauty of the gifts that you give us in knowing you through what you say, what you do, through hearing the stories of the ways that you've been working in people's lives and the way that you've been at work in us. Lord, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus more, to see more of how you're at work in us and through us today. Lord, help us to grow and knowing more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.